I want to introduce our guest speaker for today. Our guest speaker is Pete Wong. Pete is not only a good friend of mine, but a member of our church council, and he's going to help us walk through the book of Nehemiah, or at least a section of that book, and I'm excited to hear from him what he has to share. So, Pete, take it away.
Hello, Conshohocken Vineyard Church, and any watchers near and far. Most people know me as dad to three amazing kids, or the lucky guy that gets to call Bindu his wife. This past week has been the culmination of a series of tragic events, and they've gripped our nation. The brutal death of George Floyd, the ensuing protests, and the subsequent acts of violence reflect our heart's cry for justice. And it's right that we should call for justice. And while the death of George Floyd demands justice, the heightened tension is a reflection not only of a cry for justice to be served on behalf of one, but a cry for justice to be served on behalf of an entire people group. And as we move from the injustices committed against George Floyd to the countless injustices committed against a people group living in the U.S., the question becomes, how do we respond to opposition? In our search for justice, too often we oversimplify a nuanced, complex social injustices and categorize the opposition in a clean, easy, made-for-Twitter post. And in some sad cases, the result of what began as righteous indignation for the injustice results in a similar act of injustice. Just this week, security guard David Dorn, a retired black St. Louis police captain, got caught amidst the riots while responding to a police pawn shop security alarm and was fatally shot. What began as righteous indignation for the unjust death of one man who represents many has now claimed the life of yet another equally innocent man. So in all this, my heart cries, how do we respond to opposition? I began my adult life as a soldier in a special operations unit fighting against an unnamed, unmarked, and elusive enemy. It would have been easy to categorize people into two clean groups, us versus them. But the reality was far more complex, and while the situation was absolutely a fight for our life, the reality in most situations wasn't as simple as us versus them. And after more than a decade, as I reflect on the lost lives of both friend and foe, I still wrestle with the question, how do I respond to opposition? Do I harbor anger and malice toward the men that took the lives of my comrades? Or is Jesus calling me into something deeper? While I'm no longer deployed to Iraq or Afghanistan, the question, how I respond to opposition, still demands an answer. Make no mistake, whether we consider the question or not, we will have a response. My gut instinct is to fight. But to whom am I fighting? Earlier this week, as I began preparing for the sermon, my wife Bindu and I became entangled in a painful series of arguments. She was experiencing attacks against her identity. I was feeling wounded as I tried to rescue her. In that moment, we wanted to oppose and fight each other. Thankfully, the Father gently reminded us that we weren't enemies and guided us towards a response of reconciliation. Today we look at the Old Testament book of Nehemiah, which takes place around mid-5th century BC. And like us, Nehemiah led during a time of conflict. He was an official to the Persian king, Artaxerxes. And after the third wave of exiles returned to Jerusalem, Nehemiah hears of the defenseless condition of the city. Surprisingly, the king not only allows Nehemiah to leave Persia for Jerusalem, but also gives him a letter of safe passage, cavalry, and building supplies. Throughout the story, Nehemiah adeptly navigates opposition, completes the wall, and urges the Jewish people to move toward God. The opposition Nehemiah faces and his responses was typically straightforward, such as from the leaders of the surrounding peoples when he first arrived in Jerusalem. Over time, it proceeds only to intensify, to the point where his men are in so much danger that they're rebuilding the wall with one hand on their sword, literally. Today, though, I'd like to focus on one particular delicate conflict that arose from within the Jewish people living in Jerusalem. Much like the tragedies of this past week, my struggles in combat or my conflict with Bindu, Nehemiah was placed in a situation where the opposition wasn't obvious. Let's see how he responds, but first, let's pray. Lord Jesus, in this time of division, violence, and sadness, would you pierce our hearts? Teach us how you want us to respond. Use us as leaders in our community to be a blessing and an agent of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Because of his position of authority in Jerusalem, Nehemiah is called to help poorer Jews being exploited by Jewish nobles and officials, the very men who were called to care for them. Specifically, the poorer Jews are starving and struggling to pay the taxes levied by the king. And as a result, many of the poor Jews are asking the wealthy men for loans. To add insult to injury, the wealthy nobles and officials are charging exorbitant amounts of interest, which leads some of the families to have to sell their sons and daughters as slaves. Nehemiah is caught in the midst of two opposing Jewish constituents because his result could break a relationship with one of those, because his response could break a relationship with one of those groups. How can he respond in this delicate situations where tensions are high? Let's read Nehemiah's response in chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. When I heard their outcry and these charges, I was very angry. I pondered them in my mind and then accused the nobles and officials. I told them, "You are charging your own people interest." So I called together a large meeting to deal with them and said, "As far as possible, we have bought back our fellow Jews who were sold to Gentiles. Now you are selling your own people only for them to be sold back to us." They kept silent because they could find nothing to say. So I continued, "What you are doing is not right. Shouldn't you walk in the fear of our God to avoid the reproach of our Gentile enemies? I and my brothers and my men are also lending the people money and grain. But let us stop charging interest. Give back to them immediately their fields, vineyards, olive groves, and houses, and also the interest you are charging them, 1% of the money, grain, new wine, and olive oil." In this passage, Nehemiah shows us three ways heroic leaders respond to opposition. First, he allows himself to feel righteous anger. The passage states that upon hearing the injustice committed, Nehemiah was very angry. Too often we believe that any form of anger is wrong and immediately suppress that feeling. Often, the act of suppressing our anger allows it to fester, and the enemy takes a righteous response and turns it into something sinful. In Ephesians, Paul says, "Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the enemy, the devil, an opportunity." Did you catch that? He said, "Be angry, and do not sin." Paul is affirming that not only is anger not a sin, but he's commanding us to be angry. Heroic leaders respond to opposition with righteous anger. Righteous anger is a spirit-led barometer that indicates that something isn't quite right. Paul is quick to indicate that in our anger, we are not to sin, and that it isn't right to sit with our anger for extended periods of time. because that can actually lead to sin. So what else can we do? Well, Nia's next response is telling. Second, heroic leaders take action against the specific injustice that occurred. Nehemiah does this by calling out the injustice when he states in verse 7, "I pondered them in my mind and then accused the nobles and officials. I told them, 'You are charging your people interest.' Then he commands the Jewish nobles and officials to turn away from their sin when he states, 'Give back to them immediately their fields, vineyards, olive groves, and houses, and also the interest you're charging them, 1% of the money, grain, new wine, and olive oil.'" Heroic leaders respond to opposition by taking action, even when it may be an unpopular decision. Unlike the external opposition Nehemiah faced, speaking out against the officials and nobles could undermine the mission of completing the wall surrounding Jerusalem. In this case, Nehemiah's action was taken with great personal risk. We see Jesus respond similarly. After witnessing the temple courts being used as a marketplace, he acts swiftly, overturning tables to drive the merchants from temple courts to restore it back to its original intent, a house of worship. Now, I'm not suggesting that in every instance we are meant to take action against opposition. Actually, there are many examples where we're called to turn the other cheek. However, have you ever found yourself in a situation where you're confronted with opposition and you feel something boiling up within you and are unwilling to act? As a veteran, I'm often thanked for my service. And sometimes in an effort to thank me, I've found myself in conversations where a person makes a statement about those people that I fought in a war. Those people are animals, have no morals, are evil. And the reality is much more complex. While some of the people I face committed atrocities that I wish I could never see again, that I wish to never see again, those people were fighting in a war. Those people had mothers. Some of those people had children, and all of those people were lovingly created by our Maker. So while it would be much easier for me to categorize those people as bad and enthusiastically agree with the person that's offering me thanks, I've been convicted to gently remind them how our Father sees those people. You see, heroic leaders respond to opposition by taking action. Now, taking action can be taken too far. Notice Nehemiah didn't take action against every noble and official, but addressed only the specific individuals that committed the act. In order to make a statement to the broader group, Nehemiah offers a godly perspective, which is what leads to my final response to opposition. Heroic leaders offer a godly perspective. In chapter 5, verses 10, Nehemiah states, "I and my brothers and my men are all lending the people money and grain, but let us stop charging interest." You see, before Nehemiah knew that the nobles and the officials were gouging poorer Jews with high interest rates, he did know that the poor needed his support. And to that end, he was already helping them and setting the example for others to follow. You see, the Hebraic law clearly states that you are forbidden to charge interest to other Jews, and Nehemiah was obediently following that law. However, as Pastor Rich mentioned last week, many of the Jews had begun to take on the practices and customs of the surrounding nations to include charging interest. Here, in contrast to common culture, Nehemiah offers a godly perspective to opposition. Jesus came to usher in the kingdom of God, and in order to do so, he often offered a godly perspective which differed from the norms and the beliefs of the time. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus states in Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 to 44, "You have heard that it was said, 'Love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Now, to a first century Jew, the statement love your enemy would come into direct conflict with loving your neighbor, because in a world of limited resources, they had to make a choice. Love my neighbor and fight to keep our enemy out, or love my enemy, but now my neighbor may starve or die of thirst. Because there wasn't enough for everyone. And this makes sense, especially if you live in a desert land. But Jesus came preaching about an abundant kingdom and encouraged believers to trust upon the goodness of the Father. And in this example, trusting our Father meant trusting that our Father is big enough to provide both my neighbor and my provide for both my neighbor and my enemy. Here, Jesus shows us that heroic leaders offer a godly perspective. Today we see that heroic leaders respond to opposition with righteous anger, which then moves them to take action against a specific injustice and to offer God's perspective of love and abundance to a world bent on creating enemies. As we close, I'd like to bring us back to the story of David Dorn, who was shot and killed during the riots taking place in St. Louis. And in an interview with Brian Powell, one of David's five children, he stated that he believed that his father would have forgiven those behind the violence and tried to talk to them. Powell went on to say, "The person who pulled the trigger, my message to them would simply be, just step back from what you're doing. Know the real reason you're protesting. Let's do it in a positive manner. We don't have to go out and loot and do all the other things," Powell said. In the midst of mourning the death of his father, Powell talks about forgiveness and displays a heart of compassion, even for the person that murdered his father. As we consider our response to opposition, let's remember both who our enemy is and how our Creator guides us to respond.